Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. With us now is our Kansas Secretary of State, Scott Schwab. Scott, thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, glad to do it. On the road, so it's a good time to get on the phone and get something like this done. But if you hear the car noise, I do apologize.
Well, I appreciate you joining us this evening, and drive carefully. I'm sure you're driving safely. You know, I wanted to take this time. It's the first time we've had a chance to talk since the election. So first off, congratulations. Are you enjoying your lofty office there across the street from the Capitol?
Not in the office too much. Normally out in community, driving across the state, doing other things. But and we were down in Wichita this last week because of a county clerks association meeting. But yeah, it's different than being in the legislature. But I do enjoy it a lot. It's a lot less pressure than what you get in the legislature. The decisions I make are bigger, but it's a lot less pressure.
And, you know, so one thing I will say, and you and I both know Secretary Kobach, or former Secretary Kobach, he's a friend of both of ours, but I will say you definitely have set a different tone. The office doesn't seem to be as political. It seems like almost more that you've struck more of an administrative tone. I'm assuming that's intentional.
Well, it's also who I am, and we got the question a lot on the campaign. Are you going to be Kris Kobach, which was a ridiculous question. I'm Scott Schwab. I have been Scott Schwab all my life, and I'm not going to change from being Scott Schwab anytime soon.
He has more hair. Part of my,
the hair's overrated. All that being said was having my upbringing through politics was serving a long time in the legislature, and you know, the executive branches are to carry out the laws made by the legislative branch. And so it's kind of my thought process is that I'm going to come in here and drive policy. No, the legislature makes the policy, and I do what they tell me to do. And I do it to the best of my ability so that people will trust what their state does.
Well, and, you know, just as an example of that, I mean, you actually endorsed and to an extent pushed the limiting your office's own power by supporting that piece of legislation, transferring the authority to sue back over to the Attorney General's office.
Yeah, the prosecutorial authority, there's a lot of changes that have happened in government since that passed, which really wasn't that long ago. But Derek Schmidt has created a fraud unit in his office. So, and it's good government. So as opposed to the Department of Revenue having to investigate tax fraud on their own, they now send that to the Attorney General and the fraud unit investigates that for that Department of Government. And so now you have really quality fraud investigators in the Attorney General's office. Well, since that unit now exists, it'd be duplicative government for me to do it as well. So it just makes sense to say, okay, well, I'm not an attorney, and now I do not have a prosecutor in the office. Let's just go ahead and transfer that back to the Attorney General.
Well, and that makes sense. I mean, when I saw that, I thought it wasn't a rebuke of Secretary Kobach. It was just logical and consolidating that authority over to the department where it made most sense. So let me ask you one question about something that applies in particular to Sedgwick County. I know you guys have passed legislation this year, the legislature did, to allow voters to vote at any polling location. Specifically, I know that applies here in Sedgwick County, but as you and I talked leading up to this interview, apparently that may not be something that'll happen in this next election. Can you kind of give me a little more insight into that?
Yeah, the law has been passed, but we have to write rules and regs and standards on that. And so we've sent a letter to every county clerk to please do not do this new policy, because it is up to the counties, until we've got the rules and regs written. Because the concern is when you can go from place to place and vote wherever you want, the way you're able to do that is you have an online digital polling book. Well, if your polling center is a church and they're using that church internet to put the polling book online, someone could hack that internet because I don't know what that church's standards are. So when you have advanced voting, for example, or early vote, in-person early voting, the rule and reg says you have to, you can only do that on a county network because we know what their security standards are. So, but if you're going to be able someone to put that poll book on any network, suddenly it becomes a security threat. So we want to make sure that it is protected because the agency's been beat up pretty hard on CrossCheck, which hasn't even been online for over four cycles now. If the poll book were to become online in an unsecure network, it's an even bigger concern. So we want to make sure we have the network standards and security standards in the rules and regs to protect those counties, because the last thing I want them to do is get sued.
Well, and it makes sense. I just wanted to make sure, because I know I heard from folks who thought, oh, it's great. It's really handy. I work on the east side of town, but I live on the west side of town. I'll be able to, you know, vote where I work. I'm glad that we get this out there because, yes, that will happen, but it may not be in place in time for the next elections or the 2020 elections.
Let's just clarify that. It will not be ready for this year's election.
Okay, good.
The goal is to have it ready by 2020. But again, I would rather have it not go for 2020 and it be secure than say, hey, we can do it for 2020, but we got a 40% probability of getting sued because we could get hacked.
Yeah.
We want to make sure it's secure.
So speaking of the 2020 elections, we've seen a increase in voter turnout. Are you guys anticipating, again, increased voter turnout? Have you got any expectations along those lines?
I would imagine. I mean, every time you have contested races, you get high voter turnout, which, you know, and I've talked to other secretaries of state across the country, and whether they're Democrat or Republican, they really, for the most part, have the same purview. It's not our job to increase voter turnout. It's just to make sure that you have a fair election and that it's a pleasant experience. Right now, as it looks like that U.S. Senate race is going to be pretty contentious, obviously there's going to be a presidential race on the general in November of next year. I would imagine voter turnout will be pretty high, but as it relates to numbers, percentages, it is just way too soon because the final deadline is still over a year away.
Yeah, well, and speaking of that U.S. Senate race, I do have to ask this. Just so you know, I ask pretty much everybody, but are you running for U.S. Senate? Because you know, your name has come up a couple of times.
Which is ridiculous because I couldn't shout it any louder. No, I'm not running for U.S. Senate. I don't want to run for Senate. I don't want to go to D.C. I got a 5-year-old I enjoy coming home to every night. So, no, I am not running for U.S. Senate.
Okay, well, I had to ask. I have heard your name mentioned.
I know, and it's interesting because there's a constitutional amendment that the legislature introduced. And I don't think it's going anywhere, where it would change the appointment process for statewide. And the Kansas City Star and Lucille Eagle said they were doing this because Scott Schwab's looking at running for U.S. Senate. I'm like, guys, there's a podcast. I'm on record. I'm not running. I'll have my wife call you and tell you, too. I'm not running. So, but, you know, it's just kind of like their M.O. is to try to generate a story and, you know, their mind's made up. Don't confuse them with the facts.
It is funny how that works, isn't it? We're talking with our Kansas Secretary of State, Scott Schwab. So, Scott, now, one thing I wasn't aware of, and this, you know, I'm into politics, and yet I didn't know this, so certainly a large swath of our listeners may not be, but you'll actually have a constitutional amendment on the ballot this November. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. And it's kind of fun for us to be able to pass a constitutional amendment to the legislature in your first 100 days. It's not a light lift, but we got it done. And the Kansas Constitution back in the 80s, they changed the way we do our numbers for redistricting for the legislature, state school board, and state senate. By law, this could not affect our federal House seats. But what we do is when we get our census numbers in, we then call every college student and every military member and ask where they want to be counted. It costs the state to the tune of almost $1 million. It's over $800,000 just to make that happen. And it normally only affects about maybe 8,000 people across the state. So, I mean, if you drill it down, dollars per person, it's a horrible spend. So we were able to get that on this November's ballot. And the advantage of this is when we get those census numbers, rather than call all these folks, the number is now the number. We're going to do it the same way we do our congressional districts. We can get that to the legislature quicker, and that way they can work on redistricting, because that's always a ugly battle in the state house. And the more time we can give them those numbers, the quicker they can get to getting through the war and getting onto the new districts.
So, you know, I know this is entirely unrelated, but I'm curious, what are your thoughts, since you brought up redistricting? That's coming up here, 2022, I guess. Any thoughts on, you know, right now there's a battle brewing in D.C. along the redistricting lines. You know, they're looking at whether or not to ask citizenship question on that form. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because they used to do it in years past. Now they're looking at doing it again. I don't see a problem with it. I'm curious what you think.
I don't see a problem with it either. Again, that's the U.S. Census Bureau. And it is interesting. A lot of folks think we do the census when it's really the federal government. The U.S. Census Bureau does the census. Whatever questions they put on there, it's all private. It's guaranteed to be private. So I don't know why you wouldn't put it on there. I think it's useful data. If you want to know how many U.S. citizens you have, you got to ask if they are, in fact, a U.S. citizen. And that's what's going to affect your redistricting numbers. It affects federal dollars that flow through the state. So I think it's a good question, but I don't know why it was on there, why it came off, and why it's back on. But, you know, the U.S. Constitution clearly says every 10 years you've got to do a census of your citizenry. So how do you not ask a question?
Yeah, it does kind of seem like a no-brainer to me as well. But, you know, it's just anymore with politics these days, there's always somebody that's going to either be offended that you asked it, or someone is be offended that you didn't. So,
and there may be more to the entire, because I believe that was going to the Supreme Court, and there may be more to that story than I know, because again, I don't do the census, so I'm not involved in it, and there may be something I just don't know. But from the face value, and from what I've read, I don't know why the question wouldn't be on there.
Well, thank you very much for joining us again tonight, Scott. I appreciate it. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro will be with us. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.